today on Real Radio.
Heaven is a place for sinners who have been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Did you know that? And that forgiveness transforms your life, changes your life. You don't do Christianity. The Holy Spirit does Christianity to you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How Does God Love? Part 2, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah was the 8th century BC Jewish prophet for whom the book of Isaiah was named. His prophetic book is unmatched in scope and covers common prophetic themes of coming judgment, as well as Israel's future restoration. Isaiah also focused a lot of attention on the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 30, we saw how love, by nature, is sacrificial. God loves us so much, He willfully humbled Himself to the point of sacrificing His life for us. It's why He refuses to tolerate sin and rebellion in our lives. Many Christians are taking advice from the world or relying upon their wealth instead of God. Others are trusting in powers that are not from God. They think they're doing well, but they're being deceived. Only the true believer who seeks the Lord's counsel will be blessed by Him. Now we'll continue in Isaiah chapter 30 and see how God loves us by giving us His truth. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that God does not give up on His people. We may try to run from Him, but He is relentless in pursuing us. If we just pray and talk to Him, He'll lead us to His truth. We need to be wise by not trusting in the promises of man. Instead, we're to keep praying, keep doing the right thing, and leave the outcome to God. And now, in his lesson called How Does God Love? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Well, grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 30. God, we learned, does not give up on His people. God does not quit. God does not stop. If you are a child of God, one of the amazing and relentless truths of God's great power is that He pursues you all the way into heaven, and He uses extraordinary means if necessary, if in fact you are a born-again believer tonight. If you are a born-again believer tonight and you're walking with the Lord Jesus, what an exciting life to live. It's tough, but it's exciting. It's tremendous, but it's difficult. It's this thing of life, Christian life. If you're a backslidden believer, then listen, you've got a tough way. It's tough. The Bible says the way of the backslider is hard. Why is it so hard? Because God won't give up on you. He's hanging on to you. You may be trying to run. You may be trying to do the Jonah thing and catch the next ship out of here to run, to flee from God, and you can't lose Him. And your life, it's all done in love now, but your life will be miserable because you belong to God, but you're not walking with God. And then there are those who do not belong to God at all. And it's our desire that tonight, if you hear this message, it might touch your heart and you'll have a change of mind. So this is where we left off last time, verses 1-3. How does God love? We learn this, that He loves by refusing to tolerate our ways. Say amen to that. God does not tolerate our ways. He lets us have it when we step out of line. So verse 1, He said, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of Me." They'll listen to a fortune cookie or some knucklehead, but they're not seeking God. "And who devises plans, but not of My Spirit, that they may add sin to sin? Who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked My advice?" Listen to God. He's saying, pray to Me, talk to Me, and I'll lead you. "To strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." It's all smoke screens you're leaning on. Israel or Judah, if you go back to Egypt, there's nothing there that can help you. Verse 3 says, "Therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation." We saw that God loves us so much that He will not allow things of this world that are of this world and of the flesh to prop us up. Never, it'll never happen. So now we move into verses 4-14 where we pick it up. Here's where we dive in. How does God love us? So He won't tolerate us. What else? He warns us. He warns us with the truth. We see in verses 4 and 5 that this is what he's announcing, that for his, that is Pharaoh's princes who are of Zoran, and his ambassadors came from Hanes, they, that is all or any of them, were all ashamed of the people of Egypt who could not benefit them or be of help or benefit, but a shame and also a reproach. God is warning, don't trust, we would say Pharaoh in the context of our message. Isn't it great tonight? There's a presidential debate. God would say this way tonight, in real time to us, don't trust in any word they say. When people come and make promises, don't trust in the promises of man. Don't do that. We need to be wise and careful and discerning. God warns us by always giving us the truth. And God is telling his people tonight across America, know my word, consult me, pray. That's why we're on a 40-day season of fasting and prayer, that we would know the will of God. This is the greatest time in my Christianity for us to be fasting and praying, to know what God's will is. What's at stake is monumental. Listen, I want God. I want to do everything that's called of me and then leave the outcome to God. And listen, I've got to tell you, a lot of what I'm doing right now regarding pursuing God at this election season and stating the truth and doing the right thing, I don't know the outcome. You don't know the outcome. But the great thing is, if I do the right thing, I leave the outcome to God. I'm free. What's going to happen after that day? I don't know. I'm going to do the right thing. Leave it up to God. That's what the Christian's supposed to do, the right thing. Don't go listen to Pharaoh. Pray. The Christian should be more discerning than anyone in the world right now. Listen, honestly, all of our friends who are in the dark on these issues, or maybe our friends who don't know the Lord, they should be coming to us because they hear wisdom come out of our mouths. Right now in the world, it's all the bombastic, yelling, screaming strangeness. Don't listen to Pharaoh. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 14, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. There's a lot of strange doctrines going around or things. You know, it doesn't have to be the preaching of some cult that makes it a strange doctrine. It could be somebody who even means well, wrongly dividing the word of truth. When somebody says, well, I read the Bible and I think I'm going to do this. And you look for a verse like you look for a Band-Aid out of your medicine cabinet to cover what you're about to do. That's wrong. Watch out for that. You can take what's true in the Bible and make it wrong. By the trickery of men, the verse goes on, and the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. But speak the truth in love, and you may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. That's how we're to be right now. Psalm 33, verse 12 says this, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Man, that is a blanket statement. This is awesome because if you're Jewish tonight, you would say, look, it's the psalm that belongs to Israel. You Gentiles can't have it. We appreciate your zeal for the nation of Israel. We love Israel too, but the truth of the matter is this is an open-ended promise by God given to any nation. Isn't that amazing? He's pleading to the nations of the world. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. He's saying, make me your Lord over your nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people who he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven and he sees all the sons of men, the nations, from the place of his dwelling. He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. Verse 16, no king is saved by the multitude of an army. Wow. Wow. We need to email that right now to what's happening in the Middle East right now, huh? What's happening? Vladimir Putin needs that verse. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is in vain, a horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him and on those who hope in his mercy. There's the answer right there. God warns us with his truth. Don't trust in others. Trust in me. And he goes on, and for time's sake, I'll paraphrase. Look at verses 6-9. He says that the burden against the beast of the south, though the land of trouble and of anguish, which came lioness and lion, the viper and the fiery flying serpent, they will carry their riches on the backs of young donkeys. He's talking about how you guys, Judah, you're going to disobey me and you're going to go down. In fact, you're going to go down into tyranny. You're going to go down into slavery. And skip down to verse 8. Now go, write it before them on a tablet and note it on a scroll that it may be for a time to come. Watch everybody. Forever and ever. The word simply means go and write this prophecy down, and it's going to be understood in a time way far, far, far from now. So this was written 2,740 years ago. Isn't it bizarro that we're sitting here tonight reading this prophecy right now? And you say, well, okay, I don't quite understand what I'm reading. You will in a moment. Just note this. Verse 8 is saying, God said, just write it down, pay attention, and a long, 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 long time from now, I'm going to do this. Verse 9, that this is a rebellious people. The world is going to somehow know that the Jews are a rebellious people, lying children, he calls them, children who will not hear the law of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? The Jew is the most unique individual on the planet. Let's face it. There's no doubt about it. The Jew. They've endured more Holocausts than any people group in all of human history. Did you know that? There's been more persecution done to the Jew than any other ethnic group in human history. They have been the systematic target of nations to eradicate them from off the face of the earth. Adolf Hitler tried it, couldn't do it. The Assyrian Empire tried it and couldn't do it. Pharaoh tried it and couldn't do it. Persian Empire tried it and couldn't do it. Think about it. The Jew. It's amazing. Honestly, how could there even be a Jew left? But there is. You haven't seen any Amalekites lately, have you? Or Amorites. You haven't seen those people. Think of that. They're gone. And yet, here's the Jew. How is that? Because God says they're his kids. Listen. God is eternally the Father, right? That's his nature. Okay, this is going to upset some of you guys that have a wrong Bible view, but that's your problem. Here's the deal. God is eternally the Father. Okay? And he says, I'm married. In Jeremiah, he says, I'm married to the house of Israel. He says what he says. So for those of you people who want to believe that there's no Jew anymore left in the world or all Jews should be extinct, good luck to you, because that ain't going to happen. Because God will forever be the Father of the Jewish people. And you got to have Jews for him to be the Father. And when his wife is disobedient to him, she gets in trouble. But he never divorces her. He's going to draw her out of the world. He's been doing that now since 1948, and he's going to renew his vows with her. And that time frame, by the way, what brings her to recommit to him is something called, you know it in your Bible. I'll give you a hint. It's 7 years long. The 7-year tribulation period is all about the Jews turning back to their God. It's amazing. He's not done with them. He warns them with the truth. He warns us with the truth, but he's not done. He's not done with them. He's not done with us. Verse 10, who say to the seers, this is what his kids do, and you don't ever want to be in this camp. By the way, Jesus made mention of this in his ministry. Isaiah 30, verse 10, this is what the children of Israel say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us, to say right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. In other words, tell me a lie. Seers, yes, I'm a seer called by God. Don't say anything unless it's cool, unless it's awesome. In fact, just don't say anything at all. Are you a prophet? Yes. Don't tell us anything but smooth things. Does it sound like today in our culture, ladies and gentlemen? I want to go to a church that only tells me happy things. I want to go to a church where it's very fun and very cool and I never get convicted because that would be uncomfortable. I want to live however a life I want to live and I just want to do my thing on Sunday and I don't want to bother anybody and I don't want to be bothered by Bible stuff. But I want to be a good Christian. I want to go to church. And just don't give me that heavy stuff. That's not Christianity. Because we're not in heaven yet. And this world's messed up. And God wants you and I to catch fire so we can shine that light to others that they might get rescued out of their lives just like you and I once had. That they might realize that heaven is a place for sinners who have been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Did you know that? And that forgiveness transforms your life, changes your life. You don't do Christianity. The Holy Spirit does Christianity to you. The Bible is alive. It comes up off the page and transforms your life. You don't do it on Sunday. As a believer, you're looking for every moment of your life to do Christianity. And you know that. If you're a believer tonight, you know that's true. But if you are playing Christianity or if you have recreational Christianity, it's like, well, I don't get into that stuff. I don't want to know about this. I don't want to know about just, I want to just prophesy smooth things to me. People are troubled right now. They're troubled in the world right now. It's getting really hard to deny the world, that the world's not going crazy. This stuff, I tell you, I personally believe churches that just want to tell a happy, smooth story, I think they have an expiration date on them. You know what? Their expiration date is this, when something really bad happens. Because when something bad really happens, you say, wait, what's those things we learned last week? 10 steps on how to be happy. Oh, my house is on fire. The sky is glowing. there's a mushroom cloud over LA. What's the thing? What's that happy song we learned? That ain't gonna work, dude. You have to have the Bible in your heart. It's verses from the scripture that's gonna give you strength and bring you comfort. And God says, Israel, I wanted to reach you. Judah, I wanted to call out to you. But in the day of calamity, the day of difficulty, the day of trial, where do you go? If you don't have a Bible verse or a chapter to run to, you don't got nothing to hang on to. It's so vital. Now, listen, I'm not taking, I don't know anything, I'm not saying anything. I'm just, if you have not had any life disruptions, what I'm saying to you is like, when's he just going to move on to the next point? I don't get it. To those of us who have had life's issues, big bumps in the road, it's like, oh, isn't that true? I tell you, as a believer, when your world gets rocked and you go to the verses, oh man, it's like, it's so comforting. You actually wonder if something's wrong with you. You feel, it's like, well, shouldn't I be freaking out right now? I'm looking around, everybody's freaking out. You know, it's amazing. Oh, I just caught a glimpse of, I hope I don't upset them. Lori and Steve, was it first service last Sunday? Were you guys here first service? I didn't see you guys first service. I didn't have to see you guys first service because I heard Jamie. I said something at first service that caused her to do her thing. You guys, if you attend church on Sundays here at whatever service it would have been last Sunday, Jamie, 34-year-old Jamie, had been confined to a wheelchair, severe damage because she drowned. She was found as a young child at the bottom of their pool. 34 years, Steve and Lori nursed her and loved on her and took care of her. And whenever I would mention heaven and the glories of heaven, right over here to my right, she would go, and for years, it was always about heaven. If I mentioned something about heaven and Jesus is coming, and when he comes, and if we don't get raptured, then he's going to come and take us in our time. And last Sunday morning, first service, she did that, and I saw some new people who were here. They were sitting right about here, and they looked over in that direction. They didn't understand. They didn't know what I knew. But what I didn't know and what Steve and Lori didn't know is that the very next morning, Jamie would go to heaven. And tonight, listen, she has no need of anyone to feed her and comfort her. She's dancing in glory tonight with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that early morning, Steve called me on my phone, and he announced to me that Jamie had just entered in the arms of Jesus. This is what matters in the day of calamity. All the smooth words and all the fancy prophets and all the glitz and glamour and all the funny stories, no one remembers those in the day of calamity. The jokes, nowhere to be found. And Steve said, "Help me." And I said, "Revelation chapter 4 and 5. Remember, it was so loud, you're in traffic, and I was in a crazy place. Steve, turn to Revelation 4 and 5. Cell phone interruption, crazy. We had to dial back a few times. Revelation 4 and 5. It's what Jamie's looking at right now. Turn to Revelation 4 and 5. It's what she's looking at. What do you tell a parent who just watched their baby go into the presence of Jesus but can't be with them for now? The next thing you do is you pick up the Bible and you go take a look at what they're looking at. Angels surrounding the throne, seraphim, cherubim, the 24 elders bowing down. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, he who was, who is to come. You take your hope to heaven. You set your eyes on heaven. You look to heaven. And that's our destination. That's Sunday's message in Philippians. I'm getting ahead of myself. But that's what you do. Don't speak some fancy words to me, and don't give me 5 steps on how to become a rich Christian. It's all going up. It's the word. Isaiah, in another place, I think it's chapter 8, says, when false prophets come speaking and they mutter words, you turn to the word, to the word, to the word. That's where your strength is. Verse 11. I'll read verse 11 out of the New Living Translation for one moment because it's just real clear. Forget all this gloom, they would say. Forget all this gloom. Get off your narrow path. Stop telling us about your Holy One of Israel. This is the children of Israel talking to Isaiah. Stop talking about a narrow way. Does that sound like today? Yes. If you're just sincere, if you can believe in anything you want to believe, right? That's how they talk, you know. They all talk like that. It's whatever you want. If it's true for you, all roads lead to God. It's true, you know. All roads do lead to God. It's called the judgment. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How Does God Love? Part 2. Thank you so much for being with us today. And you know, deciding to follow Christ will be the best decision you will ever make. That's the truth. How Does God Love? Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, there's a lot of confusion out there regarding truth these days. Many people believe they're saved because of the particular church they belong to, or because they have a doctorate in theology. Some are even pursuing an emotional-based theology, or one that's shaped by past experiences and outside influences. But according to Scripture itself, unless you are truly born again and follow the eternal Word of God, you'll only end up with a false sense of security. There truly are some misconceptions, even cultural influences, that are plaguing the church today. That's why Pastor Jack created the Who Told You series. In the series, there are 23 full-length MP3 audio messages that take you through a remarkable study of biblical doctrine, a Bible study that'll help you discern the voices of our day based upon what Scripture really reveals. So, head to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, where you can get the Who Told You series. It's now available for purchase in 23 full-length audio messages. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.